Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. We're going to begin our reading at verse 13 and then read through the end of this chapter. 1 Peter 1. Beginning at verse 13, what we hear now is God's Word. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. Here we end the reading of God's holy Word. Well, as I mentioned in the morning sermon, we are going to begin tonight a new sermon series as well. Tonight, beginning a sermon series on the topic of holiness. Now, I don't suppose that holiness is a common topic in our lives. Probably not many times when we're talking over coffee with our coworkers or waiting in the line at the grocery store, do we ask each other, "How is your holiness going?" Not one of the most common topics that we have. But holiness and the call to holy living is part of our Christian life, because it expresses something of our relationship to God. God himself calls us to be holy as he is holy. We read that in verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holiness deals not only with our thoughts, not only with our words, but holiness deals with our actions. Holiness deals with our relationships. Holiness is something which should be evident to those around us. And as we work our way through this series, we're going to talk about really two main parts of this series. First of all, holiness in our relationships with those around us. And then secondly, holiness in our relationship to God. Tonight, something of an introduction to this topic of holiness, as Peter gives us in his epistle, this call to holiness. A call that is rooted in God Himself. You shall be holy, for I am holy. We'll look at this call to holiness as commanded by God the Father, accomplished by God the Son, and empowered by God the Holy Spirit. A call to holiness. We read in verse 17, "And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile." Holiness is commanded by God the Father. He is the one who is holy, and if He is our Father and we call on Him as Father, then there should be some reflection of that holiness in our lives. Now, we see that even today when a baby is born. We say, who do they look like? Which side of the family do they resemble? And we see a resemblance between the child and the father or the mother. It was a number of years ago when my folks were still living, I went up to Linden, Washington, and preached on a Sunday there. And after that service, someone came up to me who knew my father very, very well. And he said to me, "You sound just like your dad. You sound like your dad." There's a resemblance between the parent and the child. And the same is true. If we call God our Father, there should be some resemblance. Peter says in verse 14, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." As obedient children, as those whose lives are characterized or should be characterized by obedience to their Father, we are to act, we are to look in a particular way. Because we have a Father, as Peter reminds us, we have a Father who judges. Our Father is also a judge. And He has a standard of judgment. We have a Father who judges impartially. God does not show favoritism, but all are judged by His holy standard. All are judged by His law. And just because we call God our Father does not mean that we may ignore that law. Any more than the son of a police officer can ignore the speed limit signs. He's still bound by the law. There are those who would suggest that, look, once you're a child of God, the law no longer has meaning for you. The law is meaningful in the life of the believer. We have a God who is a judge, who is an impartial judge, who has a righteous standard of judgment. His holy law, it is not done away with. And so we read, "Since you have a Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile." Now, sometimes when the Bible writers use the word fear in connection to God, they mean awe or a sense of wonder. That's not what Peter's talking about here. Peter is actually talking about a fear of this God who is the impartial judge. Maybe not a fear of God, but a fear of that judgment of God. Now, we know that our eternity is secured because of the work of Jesus Christ.
We have an absolute assurance for the future. But notice what he says. Conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, while you are still alive. Because even though we call God our Father and we know that He is an impartial judge, we are still held accountable for the consequences of our sin. We may be forgiven of all of our sins, to be sure, but some sins carry ongoing consequences in our lives. And Peter says, be afraid of that. Be afraid of those ongoing consequences, not eternally, but temporally. And be concerned about living with the consequences of our sin. Because God is impartial. His standards are eternal. We know we will not end up in hell because of our choices. But we may experience a bit of hell on earth because of the sinful choices we have made. And so he says, if you call God this Father who is a judge, who is an impartial judge, then live in a particular way. Conduct yourself with holiness. That's the call. That's the command of God the Father. We read in verse 18, we have this call to holiness, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The call to holiness is a call that is accomplished by Christ Himself. It is not that we can make ourselves holy. No, we have been ransomed. We have been purchased. We have been bought by Christ Himself to be His own. And because of that, that has to have an effect on how we live. That has to have an effect on our choices. Our actions, our works are a response to what God has done. They are a response to the work of Jesus Christ, who has ransomed us, bought us to be His very own. We've been purchased and so are called to live in a particular way. He says, knowing you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. You were set free from those futile ways. Sometimes I think when we think about the call to holiness, we almost picture it as a negative thing. The call to holiness will keep us from doing this and this and this and this. It's exactly the opposite. You've been freed from the futile. You've been freed from the desire of the pleasures of life and the pleasure of things and the pleasure of wealth. All these things have passed away. You've been redeemed from those futile ways to follow after God. This was accomplished by the work of the Son through His blood, Peter tells us. Verse 19, You were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He pulls in this beautiful Old Testament imagery. The lamb that was to be offered for the sins of the people. That lamb could not be just any lamb. It had to be the spotless lamb, had to be the perfect lamb, the unblemished lamb. And that lamb was offered to take away the sins of the people. And of course, that lamb, a picture of the perfection of the sacrifice of Christ. The one who was without blemish. The one who came to perfectly redeem His people. The one who paid for all the sins of all His people. The perfect sacrifice. The one who calls us once again tonight to put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, to know that ransom on our behalf when by faith we embrace Jesus Christ. That is the call of the gospel. To know that glory. And because of that, then, to live in a particular way. Peter is writing to the church. He is writing to those who are called to follow after God. And so, in a certain sense, this sermon series we are entering into, the call to holiness, is a call distinctively directed toward those in the church. Now, we will certainly, as we look at these things, hear the gospel again and again, the call to faith and repentance, but the instruction, the encouragement will be to you, God's people. It will be to the church to begin to live and to act and conform your lives to living in a particular way, because you know the reality of being ransomed. You know the reality of being bought, of having all your sins washed away. And because of that, God gives us a desire for holy living, a desire to follow after him, a desire to live as his sons and as his daughters. The call to holiness, the call to holy living, commanded by God the Father, accomplished by God the Son, and empowered by God the Holy Spirit. We are those who are called to holiness. That's what Peter says in verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He says, prepare your minds for action. And some of you might have a footnote in your Bible. I have a footnote in my Bible that gives us a more literal rendering of that phrase. It says, gird up the loins of your minds. Gird up the loins of your minds. What does that mean, kids? Back when this was written, they did not wear, you know, suits like I have on now. But they would wear these long, flowing robes. And if they needed to get somewhere quickly, to run in that robe was very, very difficult. They would have to kind of collect up the bottom of that robe so that they could run and get where they were going. That was girding up their loins, being ready, being prepared for action. And Peter says, gird up the loins of your minds. Be ready for action because of the things God is going to teach us. Use your mind to prepare you for this holy living to which we are being called. Contrary to some who would disparage Christianity, we are not called as believers to check our brains at the door. That Christianity is for the weak-minded. It is a crutch for those who just can't seem to make it in life. No, Peter says, it engages our mind, which then prepares us for action. It is the cults that ask us to check our brains at the door, just follow whatever we're told. No, we are to be prepared. Prepared for the teaching that we are going to receive on this call to holiness. He says in verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Your obedience to the truth. We are going to look together at the Word of God to find that call to holiness in the various parts of our lives, in our different relationships. We'll be looking for the next weeks together at the Bible. We're not going to look to pop psychology to figure out how we should live. We're not going to look to opinion polls to see what are the best things to do, how to get along with others. We are going to look at what God requires, the truth of His holy word. Because the Bible does address these matters in our lives. The Bible does address how we live in our relationships to others and in our relationship to God. And I guess that's really where we have to begin, to say that we believe that. That the Bible does have answers for today. It is not just a wonderful book that tells us stories about things that happened long ago, but the Bible speaks to us. This call to holiness comes to us just like it came through Peter to the first century church. The Bible speaks to our concerns. The Bible speaks to our needs. So we are called to prepare our minds for action, being sober-minded. Being sober-minded. We're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We talked in my catechism class this morning about the work of the Spirit. When we think about the Spirit, we're not talking about some type of free-willing ecstasy experience. But the Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God. We're not talking about going off by ourselves and trying to contemplate the nature of reality, as if that is somehow in touch with the Spirit. No, the Spirit speaks through the Word. He does not work apart from it. He works in it and through it. Be sober-minded, not in fits of ecstasy, but prepare your minds for action, being sober-minded. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Do not be conformed to the world, to the world's way of doing things, to the world's standards, but be Spirit-led, not by the world, but by the Word. He says, once again, verse 13, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully on God. Set your hope on Him, on what He has done to accomplish the work of our salvation, the call He gives us to holiness, and set your hope on Him as He continues to work in the life of His people. We call that sanctification. God continuing to work His purposes out in our lives that we might begin to live and to act in a way that is pleasing to Him, that call to holiness. Holiness in our relationships with one another. Again, from verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly. That is a call to holiness with those around us. We're going to talk about our relationships. Are the relationships in marriage, the relationships as singles, the relationships with our employer. We're going to talk about these different relationships and have this sense of brotherly love, particularly for those in the church. This is a call to the church to love each other in our relationships with each other. God's call to holiness. Not just to think about it, not only to have it in our heart, but to distinctively live in particular ways. It's going to be a danger in this series to think that somehow by doing this, we might gain God's favor. You know that it's not the case. Living a holy life is not the gospel. It is the result of the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ did everything necessary to accomplish and secure our salvation. And because of that, because we have been ransomed, Now we have this call as believers to live for Him. Peter says, do all these things since you have been born again. Not so you can be born again. Do these things since you have been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Look at this. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This abiding word, this word that remains forever, is the word that is preached to you. So we will, in the next weeks, look at a variety of texts from Scripture to be ready, to be prepared, to be instructed, that as we hear that ongoing preaching and teaching of the Word of God, that call to holiness becomes a reality, not only in our minds, not only in our hearts, but in our lives, in the things that we say, in the things that we do, that we might be recognized as those who are living distinctive lives because we have been ransomed and redeemed. People of God, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray together. Lord our God, you are a holy God. You are a righteous God. You are a perfect God. And we are amazed, O God, that in light of who you are, knowing our fallenness, knowing our sin, you would still call us to holiness. We recognize, Lord God, that we will not accomplish this perfectly in this life, but that does not mean the call does not come to us. So we pray that you might encourage us, you might strengthen us by your word and by your spirit, that in our lives, over the next weeks together, we might see a change, a greater devotion to you, and that devotion might live itself out in every part of our life, in all of our relationships with others around us, and in our relationship with you as well. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn to number 397 in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. 397. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. We'll sing all four verses, 397. Let's stand together as we sing. Receive the parting blessing of our God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.